describes acts of extreme violence in graphic detail and may include discussions about demonology and the occult, topics that caused widespread panic during the 1980s. This content may not be suitable for children under the age of 50. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
And now, from the Imperial Studio in the free city of Longwood, welcome to Grog Talk.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to Grog Talk. I'm James, I'm here with the Production Goblin. Who blew me off last week. Completely... I texted him earlier in the week, and he's like, yeah, sure, well, I'll come over on Friday. Not a word, not a sound, not a peep. Anything you want to say to the vast audience of the Empire why you forgot this?
I was busy hiding from the various trolls,
the angry mob,
and bugbears and hobgoblins that were camped outside of my lair.
Well, okay. The humanoids.
I didn't want to get my gold stolen and my... get beat up.
So you're running away like
right.
A coward. Well, that's
you are a goblin. Sleep in.
Well, very good. Well, happy New Year to everyone, 2024.
Happy New Year.
First things first, let's do some Imperial news. I showed you last time the great artwork for issue 14, and now issue 14.
Wow.
Well, we just asked, where were you last week? He was hiding, yeah. He said. Here is issue 14, hot off the presses, a lovely cover by Aggie and of yours truly, and a lot of great things on it. So go out to Smoldering Dun Games, buy the hard copy, get a subscription, or if you're a patron of a gold tier or higher, you get a complimentary subscription. So again, congratulations to Rob for yet another exciting issue, and he's working on issue 15. He's got some ideas that he's asked me to do an article, so again, go out to our Discord and look at that. Also, DaveCon is coming up like a freight train, April 24th through the 26th. Pretty sure that's what it is. Up in Minnesota area, I will be up there. Rob Ritchie will be up there. Looking forward to that. 26th through 28th. So, I'd love for you all to join us there if you can make it. Go out to davecon.net for more information. And I did want to acknowledge the unfortunate passing of Janelle Jaques. She passed the last couple of weeks. Janelle was on our show with Dan when Dan was still alive and not deposed of. She was a great guest and really an icon and pillar of the tabletop community. She created a number of iconic modules, adventures, instrumental in the Judges Guild success, an artist, a gamer, just a great person, and she will be missed. So, yeah. I can confirm nor deny that I don't know. Well, two questions. First, they want to know, did I kill Dan? Well, if you see the latest, I'm not sure how he died, but his head is under my foot. So you can decide.
How he died is still under investigation.
That's right.
But it is confirmed he's dead.
He is dead, but how his demise, we don't know.
His murder is not confirmed.
That's right. And I don't know if the goblin is going to DaveCon. We haven't discussed that yet. Mm-hmm. But he's more than happy to go if he wants to travail with Rob and I. So we'll discuss that. Let's see what else we got. Talked about. And then hopefully in the next few weeks, I'm going to have a GrogCon kickoff meeting open to all for ideas and who wants to do what. And so we can start moving that forward because it's coming like a freight train. the ghost of Dan, the decapitated emperor, as he likes to call himself now, and Rob and I had dinner, and we discussed a series of adventures that we're planning to do for GrogCon in the spirit of the G-Series, which was against the Giants. So people are signing up for that, so it'll be very fun. All right, if you like any of this nonsense, please like and subscribe on YouTube. iTunes reviews are always good. If you put them in, I will read them verbatim, as long as they're not profane or a death threat. Obviously, if you want to support this, please feel free to become a patron. So, with that, so the production of Goblins back to do part two of our one of our most popular videos of late.
The most popular?
Of late.
Wow. Yes. People like that garbage?
That hot garbage they like. You know, they really thought that was they thought that was great. So for those who weren't here last time, we took the original Player's Handbook character classes and ranked them based on a tier list. And so for those who are keeping at home, that's what the tier list looked like from the last time. And there was some, I was pretty comfortable with the list, but apparently there was some...
there was definitely some controversy.
People, yeah, there was
with
Giants. Yes, against some other Giants is what we're planning to call it, if I remember correctly. So there were some folks who didn't agree with that. So we're going to first go over the comments, right?
Right. Let's see what people were saying about the previous episode.
So I think the theme was they did not support our putting the fighter as kind of a mid-tier. Class.
Right. The fighter was definitely, people were not happy with how we put the fighter, which I think that is a generous play. I believe we put it under suboptimal, right?
Right, yeah. He's a mid-tier.
I think...
By the way, Crown and Ginger, the winter old man drink is what I'm drinking today.
I think, well, going any lower would be kind of ridiculous, putting the fighter any lower. The fighter doesn't deserve much better than suboptimal to maybe okay if you wanted to push it. A lot of people were bringing up what, like the multi-attacks against...
Sub-zero, non-skilled, which, yeah. Again, we talked about that. The way that it's written here in the player's handbook, it does, again, rangers and paladins are fighters. So if they're fighters, they are covered. It even says, with the note, which is under fighters, paladins, and rangers attacks. This excludes melee combat with monsters of less than one hit dice. So all these entitle a fighter, again, the generic fighter. So they get the same benefit as fighters. The ranger does move up a little slower on multi-attack, but you know, one of the other comments was they have more weapons, choices of weapons. They get four versus three.
And that they're less restricted than in playstyle, like but in my experience, I don't know many paladins or rangers that play how they probably should be playing. I mean, and they get to keep more things, I guess, because paladins are restricted on the amount of magic. But I just don't think that excuse. I mean, they have so much going for them, the rangers and paladins, that
right.
I don't understand why you'd play a fighter and. Let's face it, if you're really excited about getting, you know, 7-9 attacks against, like, kobolds and stuff like that, why is the DM throwing a million kobolds at you? And if they are, then there's probably so many kobolds that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can kill however many of them. It would be pretty embarrassing to be ninth level and get slaughtered.
Rangers have more hit points with the same amount of constitution. Paladins have protection from evil, and if they get their holy sword, which of course any good paladin should be looking for that end game, yeah. Now they have 50% magic resistance. Yeah.
Their aura and all that stuff.
There's no
immunity to disease, and they're +2 to all saving throws.
That's
four.
Right.
Yeah. Or you could get to attack a bunch of kobolds and goblins.
Right.
I don't think there was as much controversy as I thought there would be about the thief, which is surprising. So I think some people did bring up that, you know, thieves have more role play opportunities and they get access to more items, which we brought up. You know, if a thief started with, you know, invisibility ring or chameleon cloak or stuff like that, they'd be great.
Yeah, boots of Elvenkind, cloak of Elvenkind.
You know.
But they don't. And if they're not a demi-human, they don't have infravision,
yeah,
then they're really in trouble. Right. They're literally, they can't even scout then at that point.
Yeah, so I haven't been in too many city adventures, but I don't think a thief would be extremely different there. I mean, I'm sure there'd be more shadows and stuff, but...
Oh, I think you guys made a good case for your flawed list last time. Well, thank you. Yes. But there was some hate about that. There was some hate about that we didn't like the thief. Again,
yeah,
the thief is combination cancerous and,
yeah,
you know, it. Unlike the monk or the early magic user, which is an XP sponge that doesn't really do a whole lot, and just kind of sitting there, the thief gets the party in trouble,
right,
or steals from them or causes cancerous. It allows for bad play.
And that's the thing they're bringing up. You know, what about the thief in the city campaign? The thief in the city campaign is getting the guards, town guard attacking.
Yeah, you're literally, everyone's chasing
and
you.
The town nobles all know your name and are sending assassins after you because you stole from them. Or he's stealing from the party and blah, blah, blah. If he's playing a thief like a thief would be, which is you should be stealing stuff from people.
Right.
I mean,
Don't hate the way it is. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Right.
And in that case, that's how we've seen people play them. They don't fight well. Their backstab, again, is one of those abilities that many DMs nerf so much that it's rare to use it. Now, if you have a DM that's letting you backstab every battle easily, well, then, yeah, that's...
Or if you're constantly invisible, like you said, with the magic items, if you have your invisibility ring and constant chameleon on you and whatever, you know, you can... get backstabs all day, and still, it's like, thieves are great for getting you into trouble. They're not very good for getting you out of combats and trouble.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, that was, I think, back in the old days, before the thief was kind of defined, if you wanted to play a Conan-style thing, Conan's really wasn't a thief, and his little followers and people that did, he had those skills. It was just assumed... Just like riding a horse or anything else, that was part of the skills of being an adventurer, that you could pick locks and be somewhat sneaky.
Open door isn't a skill. It's a strength test.
Right.
Sure, a test. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so...
So it that definitely was a divisive class. Yeah, but, you know, so that's why we... Again, our opinions may differ. But that was the general hate
that
we had.
We saw it come. People loved it.
Yeah, they love
it's
the thief,
classic.
The fighter. Some people were talking about the bards, which, again, I've never seen a bard really in real world. And I think that was the general hate from that, which was good. And we did get some dislikes, which was good too. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, because Dan and I typically
lovers.
We always get 100%. And some people would conflate. Now, again, we're not using the book that shall not be named. There's things in there that skew some of the other things. You know, they would change it. This is pre the book that shall not be named. This doesn't talk about... This is the Holy Trinity books. This is not including any of the other things that were added.
Because things like specialization changes the game. Add that weapon specialization.
You keep saying chameleon cloak. You mean cloak of Elvenkind.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't the effect called chameleon?
Yeah,
or something?
It's like you're camouflaged,
Is there any other magic items that give that effect? I don't think so.
I don't know. Because
it's not
Harry
visibility.
You become the
surrounding.
The cloak of Elvenkind.
Yeah, you're not you're not completely invisible.
Yeah, once in 40 years. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So, today, we are doing the multi-class characters. So, for those not familiar with First Edition... There are single-class characters, there are multi-class characters, and then there are dual-class characters. We are not going over dual-class characters. Dual-class characters are humans only. They go up to a certain level, and then if they have the requisite skill scores, they can switch to another class, assuming there's no alignment issue or anything else.
Yeah.
So Yeah, we're not dealing with that. That to me is a dumb. I never understood it.
Well, it's weird because they get some of the abilities of the new class they're switching to, but only when they get to a certain level.
Because right.
Sometimes they're locked. They only gain experience when they're using that class's abilities. I think.
Yeah, they're not supposed to. They totally forget what they're
very
doing.
Very weird. Very weird ruling.
Yeah, which part of the reason why the bards are cancerous, because it's again you. Everyone's fifth or sixth level, and then someone decides they're going to be a first level magic user
with
60 hit points if they were a fighter. And then you have someone who's not useful for a few adventures.
I'm sure it worked in like earlier style of Dungeons & Dragons with more pickup games, but in any type of campaign, it's a total obstruction to the game, having a first level character just jumping into your game.
And it is, again, assumes you have D&D... AD&D, particularly, older school games, the character classes don't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
So everyone's got to pull their weight. And if you have six players, and two or three of them are garbage because they're monks or something else, they can't do a whole lot. They're first-level magic users who have one bomb and then they're done. Right. You can't have a bunch of people just wandering around. The DM typically will craft the adventure based on you've got seven real characters, not four characters and...
And that's where I see the death spirals, is you have one guy or a couple guys carrying the thing, and they're fighters or something, right? Some type of fighter variant. Or cleric or whatever, and then they go down because they're holding the front line, and then everyone starts dropping like flies because, you know, it's assumed you have seven characters, not four and a half characters or something, you know. Four real characters and three almost characters.
Yeah, so...
Right, because dual classing is human only. So,
yes.
But I've never seen it done.
And you need ridiculous scores. And if you have those ridiculous scores to start with, why wouldn't you be a prestige class already? Why wouldn't you already be a bard if they allow that to happen, or a paladin or a monk? But then you're taking all these scores and throwing away to be a monk.
And I don't. Can you get to max level dual classing? I don't know how that works.
In theory, you could.
Yeah.
If you live long enough.
Right.
Well, again, at some point you have to stop. So there are apparently, at least in the game, it's understood because liches can be cleric magic users of high enough level. If you look in the Monster Manual, it talks about they are cleric magic users of 18th level. So think about that. You were an 18th level cleric. I'm going to be a first level magic user now for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That doesn't make any sense. How do you justify your deity? Yeah, I'm just going to stop. Talking to you for like a couple years.
Or whatever, I'm going to go off and learn the dark arts of magic.
Go off the rails a little bit on a soul-seeking journey.
Yeah, and I'll be back. And then, but once I'm magically 19th level,
I'm back, then I have all my powers again.
Yeah.
So,
I never understood. Dual class was a terrible thing. And then the thing of, you know, again, going back to it, the demi-humans are typically much older because they live longer to do one class, but yet... You magically become a first level fighter a week after you, let's say you're a fifth level magic user and decide, oh, I'm going to be a first level fighter now. You're already a first level fighter. No training, no nothing. You just magically become it.
Right. And it's very, very Gygaxian humans. So I'll say that. Humans need something. Yeah. Just throw them a bone. And I don't think they can switch back once you switch, right?
No, you can't switch back.
So you're just like, I have no idea. I hope I get to that level where I can use it again because I can never advance anymore. So weird.
So the short version is we're not talking about them. This is about multi-class. So multi-class is the purview of demi-humans. So that is half-elf, half-orc, dwarf, gnome, elf, halfling, the six races. So the main chart that you need to look at, if you're playing along with us today, there's two of them. There is the, on page 14, class level limitations, because... It's clear that Gary wanted the world, D&D world, to be human-centric. If you let demi-humans go to unlimited level, why would anyone play a human?
Right.
Which is how it is now in modern games. Yeah. Only one person plays a human.
Forever.
They have dark vision or whatever they call it now. Yeah.
Well, now everyone plays a human because they buffed it in 5th edition. Yeah, because now you get to do whatever you want as a human or whatever. So. But no one... That's where you get run into the weirdness because, like in UA and stuff, you know, if you want to play a drow, you get all these special. So it's do you want to trade off of
a lot of stats as a human, or do you want to have all these weird abilities that kind of break the game?
Yeah, I like, well, I always like the weird abilities.
Right.
The other page we're going to be looking at is page 32, which is where the multi-class character is defined. It says, per the holy book of the PH, the game assumes that only non or semi-human, we love semi-human, what's a set characters, can be multi-class, and only certain class combinations are possible. That's the first thing. It's not, you can't, now later in the book that shall not be named, they expanded that the group of it. But right now, these are the class combinations. Although these are listed in the section dealing with each race and character, multi-class character possibilities are also shown below in order to aid the selection of your character's class or multi-class. Cleric combination with fighter tops may use edge weapons. So that's one of the big advantages of a multi-class. Some of the limitations of a single class are eliminated, potentially. The cleric with the edge weapons, if it's multi-class, if it's allowed, and magic users can wear armor.
Right. Now, what's the difference between... So are they non-humans? Are they demi-humans? Are they semi-humans?
Well, it says only non or semi-humans. So, and here, under... When you go backwards... This talks about character races. It doesn't say if they're demi-humans or semi-humans or non-humans.
Are they kind of human? Are they totally not human?
Right.
No one knows.
No one knows. Non-semi or demi.
Non-semi, demi.
That's what you got.
Right.
For. So we're ready to give our tiered combination. So the first one in the order is page 32, which is the cleric fighter. Cleric fighter, for those playing at home, it says, this combination is strong in defense and revitalization capabilities, plus the offensive missile and melee combat power of the fighter. Hit points average will be good. Half elves and half orcs may be cleric fighters. So the other thing you have to remember with demi-human, semi-human, non-human is you the hit points are calculated. You take the... You roll the die for, let's say, cleric fighter. You roll the d8. You roll the d10. You add them together. You divide it by two. You add their, you add your constitution bonus. You divide it by two, and then you round it up. Is how you should get it.
Semi-humans are half orcs and half elves apparently, and non-humans are elf, dwarf, gnome, and halfling.
Okay.
Together, they are the demi-humans.
Yeah, they're right. Hey, we're the demi-humans.
Right. It's a band.
It is, the Monkees. Well, that was the Monkees, but... So
starting
first one
the
is the cleric fighter.
Cleric fighter.
So what's good about a cleric fighter?
Well, starting off, cleric fighters can use edge weapons.
Right.
Which is huge. And so I guess we should talk about the... It's only half-orcs
and half-elves. That's
and
right.
Half elves, I believe, get no ability score modifier, right?
They don't start with any.
They don't start with any ability score modifier.
Yeah, they're the bastard children of elves right. And humans. So they get a little bit of sleep reduction and they get improvision, which is important.
And half orcs get plus one strength and plus one constitution, minus two charisma.
Now, for us, because cleric is.
Yeah.
Tier 1. It's first edition.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with either of these selections, as it's defined in this book, is that the half-elven can only reach the fifth level. The half-orc can only reach the fourth level.
Yeah, of cleric. Which is not...
Which is total garbage.
Not ideal for getting to those higher-level spellcastings, definitely.
And the half-orc is limited in their wisdom to 14. So for those who remember... clerics get a wisdom bonus. If you have more than 13 wisdom, you get additional spells you can memorize. So because their maximum wisdom is 14, they only get a maximum of two first-level spells.
Which is not great. I mean, you're only going to get up to second-level spells, but...
Is there a law against it? No, there's no law against it, but, you know, we would prefer... we try to keep things separated so that we don't culturally appropriate other races by that. You know, we're very concerned about keeping diversity. But
right.
I think in modern editions now, aren't they banning these? They're like trying to get away from
the half-breeds. I have no idea.
The half-breeds
of something like that.
Which to me is ridiculous. So They well, again, all of these should be rare, right? If this is a human-centric campaign, they should be rare. I mean, the argument is, well, player characters should be rare, but that, you know, there shouldn't be thousands from this. Hey, Ray, welcome. Greetings from Australia. Well, good morning to you. No, there is no law forbidding at this point.
So
the problem is they have very low
levels. And half-elves. Half-elves, you get lower fighter, and that's assuming, I believe you need higher strength, right?
Yeah, fighter is 8th, 8 and 10, and there's an asterisk there.
And you need to have 18 strength to get to 8th level fighter.
Right.
Whereas half-orc is 4 and 10.
That's straight.
No ability score modifier. So I think if you're going to pick one, you probably should just take the half-orc, because plus 1 strength, plus 1 constitution is great. Minus 2 charisma, oh well, whatever.
Go ahead.
You don't get access to 3rd level spells, which is not great, but getting up to 10th level, it's better than getting, at best, 8th level fighter as a half. I would rather get up to 10. I feel like the class combination plays for more of a fighter role with a little bit of healing and utility in the beginning of the campaign. I think of fighter cleric more as a fighter, less as a cleric, and more of giving the fighter more to do in the beginning, more to help out before they become basically a 10th level fighter.
Early game, they're very good, either one, because and again, one of the other parts with multi-class you have to remember is you take your experience points and divide it in half.
Yeah.
So if you're typically, if you have single class characters that have low XP requirements, if you double them, it's not as painful. So some combinations, if you have multiple, you're going to be way behind you're going to be way behind the rest of the class, and it becomes, while that advantage, again, basically you're two characters at first level.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful. And
extra healing is at that first level and second level when you need it. Having extra lay on hands or cure light wounds is great. So
early game, they're excellent. Mid game, you know, 5th level and above, they start, you know, that's where it really hurts. That you can only go to 4th and 5th level. 5th level is a huge difference because you get 3rd level cleric spells. So that is the one advantage.
It's pretty big, but half-elf gets screwed with, you know, you have to roll really high. If you got a really high strength roll, you might as well go for a half-elf. But if you don't, I feel like you should just go for a half-orc because you get the better stat bonuses. I'd much rather have the plus 1 strength, plus 1 con, and take the charisma hit rather than, you know, get sleep resistance and whatever from half health.
Well, the other issue is if you have a decent wisdom, you can't get this bonus second level spells. That's the only problem with, because your wisdom. But regardless, they're pros and cons, early game, mid game, they start fading because now they're basically an expensive fighter.
Yeah.
If you're a seventh level, if everyone else is seventh and eighth level, you're a 6th level fighter, 4th or 5th level cleric. And you're now falling behind because everything's double the expense.
The way I see them as, ranged fighters with cure light wounds in the beginning of the game, basically more healing, essentially. I mean,
well, and whole person. I mean, that's the big thing for them. Right. Whole person is a game breaker.
Is great. And it's even silence. I mean,
yeah, and silence. You know, that's a good play for them too. They can cast silence on themselves and just move up and fight the squishy guys. Mm-hmm. And so those are great tactical spells, but 3rd level is important.
Yeah. You're never going to want a cleric fighter as your only cleric, is what I'll say.
Right. Yeah, they're a utility guy.
You're never going to want, if you have just the cleric fighter, it's pretty bad. So we're working with first edition the best. We have BX for great.
Right.
OD&D, good for not. So
good,
now
but not the best.
We're comparing these multi-classes. Are we comparing them along with single classes as well, or are they in their own kind of thing?
Well, I think they're in their own thing, but it's rated too. But they are a class they're a class that you can pick from. So yeah. I think you have to compare them.
If, for example, if we put this in BX Great Tier, it would be equivalent. A cleric fighter would be equivalent as a magic user.
Right.
Is essentially what we're saying. Okay, just want to clarify. So. Yep. Well, I would say this is actually kind of a hard class because I feel like in the beginning they're really powerful.
Right.
But I mean they just fall off hard and fast too. Yeah. So,
well, they're just... they're clearly better than fighters. They're not as good as clerics.
Yeah.
Early game, you know, they're probably at the OD&D tier, but then mid tier and later they fall off because now they're worse than fighters.
Yeah, because it's gonna really suck when you get to fourth and fifth level and you're taking half your experience,
right?
Just to get nothing because you're a fighter. You have no special abilities you're getting, and every two levels you move up a hit table. So, or I guess one if your DM allows it, but it's not feeling great.
But the only other advantage, you can use
edged weapons, which
and you can use magic items from clerics and fighters, which is important too. So you could get access. You could use a Rod of Resurrection if that comes late game.
Right.
So
and scrolls and whatnot.
I feel like they're either second edition or third edition. That's kind of where I would kind of dump them. One argument is they're, you know, second through fourth. They're either slightly better than a fighter or slightly worse than a fighter, depending if you play. If your campaign is longer tier, they fall obviously farther down. So, what's your thoughts?
I think if you have high stats, and you know, if you with good stats, they're better than a straight fighter, in my opinion, because you not only could you get the 18 percentile strength, but if you have that plus some high wisdom as a half elf, you know, you're gonna fall off later, but you know, a lot of games don't go that late.
Right.
So
I feel like it's second edition.
I feel like
they're
okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
You're gonna hate it if they're just your only cleric, but if you have another
if they're your only cleric, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, but if they're not, can't pass up that extra healing. That's great. And extra cleric spells, I mean, that's awesome. And you get some of the best, you know, you get some really good ones in the beginning when it really helps, especially if your DM's kind of stingy on healing potions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're definitely probably okay. I would rather have them over a fighter.
Yeah. Assuming most campaigns, they're not getting past 7th, 8th level typically.
It just takes forever to get to that. And you know, if they make it there, good on them. You know, like a lot of characters won't survive that long. You'll get killed by something. So
now the downside too, for those playing at home who haven't played this edition's first edition, a half-orc cleric fighter who, if he or she dies, that's it. You're dead. You can only be reincarnated or wished. So good luck with that. Whereas a half-elf can be raised. So that's a big difference. That is one of the things you got to factor in with some of this. At least that's a big deal for me. All right. I agree. So the next one is, what is it, cleric fighter magic user?
Cleric fighter magic user.
All right, what was that, page 32?
This is on page 32, and it says, for Cleric Fighter Magic User, one of the best multi-class options. This gives good offense and defensive spell capabilities, plus the fighter's melee combat strength. Half-elves may be Cleric Fighter Magic User. So you're only a half-elf if you're picking Cleric Fighter Magic User.
Yeah, and the limits to this are 8th level fighter, 8th level magic user.
And 5th.
Fifth level cleric. So people love this combination. I'm not a huge fan of it because you go up real. It's great for the first two adventures, but then you're never going up a level because it takes so long to go up that.
Right. And so for the eighth level in magic user, you need 18 intelligence, right? And then 17. Half elf magic users with intelligence less than 17 are limited to 6th level.
You need 18 strength, 18...
Yeah. 18 intelligence and...
18 strength.
Yeah, 18
and you need
intelligence and 18 strength.
And you should have...
A higher wisdom for...
At least 17 to take advantage
of. So you're rolling two 18s and a 17.
To max out.
And if, in my opinion... If you don't have that, there is no reason to play this one.
Yeah.
Because you're getting... You
Unless
know,
you're going to jump off the bridge at some point.
I mean,
you're just there to help the party get through it. I mean, I've created characters before like that where my job was just to kind of help the party out because I had not planned them playing that long in the campaign.
The thing
so I played
is,
the, you know, the utility guy.
Right, which is great. But the thing is, I don't see magic user as utility. That is a XP investment class. They are not a utility at early level, which is when these guys take forever to go up. You're dividing by three, your experience, yes. right? So not only are you taking forever to go up where you have a useless class, you're dividing that by three. And, you know...
Well, the argument is you should have... The idea is, just like when you used to play the gold, or when I played the gold box games, you had a couple of straight guys.
Yeah.
Meaning single class.
Right.
And then you filled them out with utility players, whether they were cleric fighters, cleric magic users, cleric fighters, so that you would double up on, hey, you got another wand of magic missiles, you gave that to the utility guy. Or the utility guy, he or she would have the invisibilities, the webs, the charm persons, the knocks, and your main guy who is moving up quicker, they would have the magic missile, the fireballs, and this and that.
Yeah,
so
I can see that being definitely more helpful, but I don't know. Dividing your XP by three is brutal. Now, you are getting 10% bonuses in each of those because, like I said, you know, you're going to have high stats if you're going this. There's no reason to... If you have, like... I guess if you don't care, you know, if you're rolling like nines and tens, and you're just like, you know what, this character sucks. Like, I'm just gonna go triple class half elf. I feel like that actually, now that I think about it, might be the way to go.
Well, that was the one guy I made. His stats were so crappy. I just made him a cleric magic user, and remember, he had 2 hit points.
Oh, wow.
Remember the one guy?
I remember.
And he wore plate mail because he was a cleric magic. And he lived way longer than I thought he was. Because I rolled terrible. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to make him a cleric magic.
I didn't even think about that. That might actually be the way to go, is have, if you roll terrible.
Yeah, you might as well just have a bunch of stats.
You might as well just have all the abilities, because your abilities suck anyway. You don't want him to live very long.
Right.
And if he does, then he's just a magic item user, essentially. You know, whatever excess magic items, give them to him. And he can help out a little bit. You're not going to advance very far. So,
I don't like the fact that it's three things. So you're basically, you need, you know, 6,500 experience, or times three, 7,500 experience points to get to second level in all of your classes.
It's so much. And, you know, when you're dividing it by that much, your fighter, you're not going to be a good fighter. You know, you're just not. Because you're moving up so slowly on the to-hit table.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be a good cleric or magic user because you're taking forever. Like, first level, you're great, and then everyone's third level, and then you just hit second.
Right.
So it's...
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. If you have... Like I said, if your stats are terrible, this is a good class to pick, but that's not how you want to be thinking. You know, what if our guy sucks? You know,
crappy, and the other part is, if you're playing one character is one thing. If you have two characters, well, then I call them like a booster character, in that I may play them for a while and then switch over to my real guys to help the party out. Depending on how your game is going.
And the more classes you add, the more proficient of a player you have to be.
Yeah.
And there's not that many players. You know, it's hard to run three classes at once. You have to know what you're doing.
Well, that's unfortunately, that's what you and I have experienced that many times, because everyone wants to play a fighter.
Right.
No one wants to play a cleric. Very few people want to play a magic user. They all want to play fighters and thieves, for the most part. And so then you end up, look at the party you have today. You have a half cleric, a half fighter, and you have one cleric. So that's when you're like, a lot of times I'm playing something to just...
Right, to
fill out the thing.
Yeah. But if we're assuming that, if we need that extra boost, I'd rather have a cleric magic user.
Yeah. No,
why
I agree.
Why would you throw fighter in there?
Yeah, so...
But if you need that extra fighting, why wouldn't you just be a cleric fighter or a fighter magic user?
Right.
Why are you throwing in all three?
Yeah.
That's just
I'm not
much.
A fan of the triple class.
You're not a one-man army. You have a party. You know, it's too much.
Right.
So I want to put this in... Definitely at least third edition suboptimal.
Yeah. I don't know if they're... I mean, early game, they're not useless.
First level, it's impossible to be used at first level. Whereas...
Early game... Well, here's the problem. Early game, they're pretty good. Because you have a first adventure, you're awesome.
Yeah, you're a beast.
Like,
even the second adventure, you're a beast. But then mid-game, you're falling behind, and by late game, you're useless. So it's from good to best, and then later you're useless. So suboptimal?
Right. I mean, who do we have in fourth edition? We have a monk and...
That's illusionist.
Illusionist. I feel like I would put this class along with monk.
Okay.
Because it's just dividing by three is crazy. Yeah. And it's just too much.
I mean, my argument is early game, they're pretty useful, but...
Yeah.
You know, if you have an eighth level
illusionist, can be pretty useful in certain circumstances. Yeah, but it's so hit or miss.
Assuming the DM allows it to.
And monk could be insanely useful if you hit 20th level or whatever, you know, 32nd level, and you're like fighting with the suns in your hands. You know, I'm sure. But like, if not, I don't know. It's not great. So moving on, we have.
I mean, it's between three and four. I agree. Yeah. It's not cancerous.
It's not cancerous.
Right. Next one is the Cleric Ranger. Now, I've played Cleric Ranger many times. But later in the, you know, if the DM allows the book that shall not be named, I use the elf one, which is amazing. This one's not as amazing.
Yeah, only half.
So this one, see Cleric Fighter above. This combination is potent in outdoor situations as well. Half elves can be Cleric Ranger. So why is Cleric Ranger a very good combination? At least initially.
Right. Well, starting off, based on our list, Ranger is just better than Fighter. I mean,
right.
Ranger is just, and you get way more health to help with your starting roll, which is getting divided by two, right? How much do you roll 2d8 as a Ranger, right?
Right. So first level, you would roll 3d8. Add your con bonus and divide it by two.
Yeah, which is great.
You're going to have, typically, if you roll 4.5, average is 13, you're probably going to have a con bonus of something. Yeah. So
you're around 16 or something.
16, you're at a minimum 8 hit points. Eight. You're probably going to be more 10 or 11.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good amount.
You have a good amount of health. Right.
Right.
And you're wearing plate mail or heavy armor.
You
or
can something. Wear heavy armor.
You know, so you're AC3, AC2 to 4, somewhere
around
there.
Once you get some money.
You can use edged weapons, right? So you can shoot a bow and sit in the back and heal.
You get your +1 on attacks against demi-humans, +1 damage.
You get to track, which is really nice.
Right, tracking is the most broken skill ever.
Yeah, exactly. There was a battle.
That's right. They were eating nuts here.
Yeah, exactly. And there was horses.
That's right. There were 78 of them, and three of them were riding horseback. And this horse had a gimp. And
yeah, exactly. You get to role play as Strider. And,
yep.
I think it's great because you get to be a ranged utility. You're not a power class. You know, you're not running in like a paladin and killing everything. And you're not a magic user fireballing everyone. But you're helping the party. Through these healing in the beginning, and now Ranger, does Ranger get Druid?
They do get Druid spells.
Eighth level?
I don't know if that's the cutoff or not. I think it's ninth level. Let me look. Pretty sure it's ninth level.
Okay.
Eighth level, yeah, they get one Druidic spell. So there you go. So you get a little Druid action too. But okay, what's the stats you need to be eighth level Ranger? Half elf.
You need a 18 strength.
Yes, you need 18 strength. So you're going to want to have 18 strength anyway. Yeah,
you're going to want that regardless. I mean, you're going to have 18 strength, and how much do you need for your fifth level? So what's your wisdom? You want 16 or something?
Preferably you'd want 17, because then you get the bonus third level spell.
Okay. So if you have two high skills, which then you're getting in trouble. Well, how much do you need for Ranger needs wisdom?
Yeah.
Which you're already going to
have. You
already
need wisdom.
Strength, which you're already going to have.
Needs a good con, if I remember correctly.
And you need to be good.
Yes, which you probably will be.
So that's the only restriction.
Ranger needs strength of 13, intelligence of 13, wisdom of not less than 14, 14 greater constitution. So you need some, obviously, it's a prestige class.
Yeah.
So the only difference is you could use the cleric, and the only thing you're missing out if you don't have the high wisdom is you're not getting the bonus spells.
Right. And I think it's a pretty good class.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's really finding on the I think it's a good support class. You know, if you're filling out, if you need that extra healing, right, then you're going to probably pick this. And if you need that extra outdoor, you know, if you're an outdoor adventurer or something, you need some of that outdoor capabilities, or you need more damage, ranger damage and stuff, and it's pretty good.
Well, I think it's better than cleric fighter, I so think it should be good, but not
fighter. Right. Who's in OD&D?
That is the druid.
Druid. Okay. I would say they're probably about as good as a druid, but yeah, they fall off hard. Druid scales better, but druid's not as useful in the beginning because they don't even get cure light wounds at first level.
Well, that is yeah. BX. BX, you know, yeah, back in the day, BX first level clerics, as you just found out, BX clerics don't even get a first level.
Yeah, they don't even. It's great. And, you know, I get so excited. I'm like, oh, I'm fifth level. I get third level spells.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. No. Sixth level.
Nico's playing in my rule cyclopedia campaign, so he's constantly, I can do this now. No, you can't.
No, I need like next level.
Well, I agree. So it's a little bit better.
I think it's worse than straight cleric, and I think it's worse than strength ranger. But, and there's probably better things. If you have super high stats, you probably rather would be a paladin or a magic user or something. But
right,
still is a good class. So, So,
all right.
Definitely in the good but not the best tier. That's a good tier.
Yeah. Cleric magic user. This combination gives the character a great variety of selection of spells, as well as the use of armor and more weapons. Its hit points are somewhat better than those of magic user class alone. Well, that's true. Half elves can be cleric magic. So, again, on paper, this thing would be amazing. The problem is, again, you're limited to 8th level magic user and 5th level cleric, assuming you have an 18 intelligence and a decent wisdom.
But you get to wear armor while spellcasting.
Right. That's the huge one.
That's incredible. So
you're probably going to have more than a couple hit points.
Level as magic user. If you have high, which you're going to take this if you're close to eighth or seventh level, which is no joke for a magic user. Yeah. You know, you have powerful spells at eighth. You know,
You don't get the fifth level spells.
You're not dueling liches or whatever, but you're still, you get fireball. You get fourth level spells, right? Cone of Cold and stuff. So,
yes. Cone of Cold, and you get Ice Storm. Cone of Cold is fifth level.
Oh, okay. You get Wall of Fire and Wall of,
you get some.
Right, Wall of Stone, stuff like that.
Some of them, yeah.
And, so you get good spells. And, you know, 8d6 is no joke on your fireball. You know, that's nothing to scoff at. And fifth level cleric's not great, but.
Well, you have Dispel Magic. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Which. You don't want to burn a third level magic user slot for that. You'd rather use the cleric slot for that.
And if you're going to be offensive. You don't want your main cleric using dispel magic, probably. You'd rather have, I don't know what else.
Well, you want your main cleric because based on the way the canceling of spells is, you have to roll percentages based on how level you are.
I remember, yeah.
There's so that
you
little
want
hook.
Your main character.
I mean, it's generally pretty good chance, but the higher level you are, again, clerics should be ramping up. But there's other spells. What's good about that is either you have Dispel Magic or you carry the other spells that you don't.
Yeah, Speak with Dead. You don't want your.
You don't want Cure Disease.
Remove Cure. You're not going to probably be taking that.
Cure Disease, Cure Blindness, some of these other ones that you would want. Prayer. Yeah. Prayer is a good one that you can have.
Continual Light's pretty good as a utility thing.
Yeah.
So I think. It's a utility. You know, this is what you're going to take if you're like, oh, crap, we don't have enough spellcasting in our party. When you see everyone at the table rolling rangers, paladins, fighters, and you're like,
and thieves,
and you're like, this isn't looking so good. And you see one guy being like, I'll be the cleric.
Yeah.
Then you're like, well, you know, we need a little bit more on that side. So, and, you know, if you're the only cleric magic user, it's not great, but... You've played a cleric magic user who's been the only one, so you know what you do get? You get all the magic items.
If that's you want it. That is the advantage of it. Everyone's as a fighter, give me all the magic.
If you love magic items and you're the only, if you see everyone else rolling non-spellcasters, roll a cleric magic user and you get to take everything for yourself. Right. So if you're really.
We're not selling that. Really greedy, I can use it.
Right. I can use it. Exactly. Hey, we're eighth level. Do we really need this wand of magic missiles? Absolutely, I do. Right?
So that I think they're as, I don't think they're as good as magic users, but I think they fall in the cleric ranger.
Yeah, they're definitely as, at least as good as a cleric. Say, and druid. Yeah.
One, you're focused on fighting support. The other one, you're focused on magic user support. Yeah, and you have the cleric, which, again, we think is the most powerful class in the game.
Yeah, it's definitely a, you got to fill out your party a little bit class, but it's good.
The cleric just remember, the cleric is the desert island class.
Yeah.
It does everything.
Everything you want it to do.
What races can be MU what? I can't read this.
I assume magic user class. I assume that's what
this is a stupid thing. Great. Multi-class.
That makes a difference sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, so only half-elves can be...
In this case, only half-elves can be...
Cleric magic user, which they don't get any stat bonuses. And right. Their passive abilities kind of suck.
The only thing is they get a little bit of sleep and charm resistance, and the big thing is they have improvision.
They have improvision. Okay, so that is huge.
Improvision's huge, and they can be raised, which mid-game is nice. Yeah. They don't have to be reincarnated or wished, which is a bit, typically...
Sometimes having no stat bonus or minus is good. So it's...
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to take the minus.
I mean, you guys are playing guys which are pretty ridiculously underpowered, and you guys are surviving just fine.
Yeah, you can make it, especially with the help of magic, which you're going to have magic items if you're taking magic user cleric. So you're going to be able to use everything,
Right.
So anyway, all right.
Moving on. Cleric thief.
All right. Cleric Thief, this one is...
This is a combination of classes which give both defensive and stealth potential. Hit points are improved with regard to the Thief class. Now, here's the problem. As with all Thief class combinations, any functions as a Thief are under restrictions of the class with regards to armor. Leather armor, no shield. Half-orcs may be Cleric Thief. So they're the only combination.
Is Half-orc, which is plus one strength, plus one con, minus two charisma.
Right.
And... they're restricted to level 4 cleric and level 8 thief.
Right.
And you need... That's if you have 18 dexterity as a half-orc thief. In my opinion, why God would you play this class combination ever? It's so mismatched and weird.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
You don't get a lot... You're not going to have a lot more hit points. Maybe. I mean, the only reason you may have some is because your constitution's pretty good.
You're not using the armor.
Right.
So that already screws so much of the power of a cleric.
Unless you get a nice... Well, this one is... Yeah, you can't... You only have a cleric. You can only use leather.
And you can't use shield.
Right.
So, okay, that's pretty...
You're limited in wisdom.
You can use edged weapons, I think, right?
Yes.
Which is great. So that's cool. I can use sword, but...
Or dagger.
Yeah. I go up to 8th level thief, which is terrible, getting divided in half. I get up to 4th level cleric, which is terrible.
Right.
And I need 18 dex to get up to that thing. And I'm getting a bonus in strength and constitution, which is not the stats you... I mean, they're nice to have, but they're not great.
Well, their dex is capped, at least racially, by 17 per the chart. Now, again, there's been some discussion about... was that a misprint or not? But yeah, it says their max dexterity is 17. So you have to do it some unnatural way. So
it's so weird. This one sucks to me. So
they're cancer. They're either useless or cancer.
And they get the worst parts of being a thief. So you have a guy stealing, and getting in trouble. And now he sucks at doing his job because he doesn't level up quickly. So his percentages are terrible. So why would? And you're missing out on the worst part if you're going to play cleric thief. Why not play Cleric Assassin?
Well, that's the next one, right?
Like, I mean, this makes no sense, because at least Cleric Assassin is weird and quirky. This is, why would you play Cleric Thief when you could be Cleric Assassin? You might as well be absolute. So this class is cancer.
Is it cancer or useless?
It's cancer because it's offensive that you even think of picking this class over others. Like, why are you doing that? If I see someone picking this and they're wasting their 18 strength or...
Kind of like picking a cleric who follows a pacifist god who can't heal.
Right, that would be awful. I don't even know who.
What
would
kind
do
of
that.
Moron would do
who
that?
Can't heal or fight.
Yeah, kind of idiot would do that.
Who in their right mind would ever pick that?
That is just, that is terrible.
But no, this class, terrible.
Terrible. So someone had a question. So people are asking, what about study prayer time for a cleric magic user? So we're going to take a side thing here. Going to recovery of spells. Let's go to recovery of spells in the third book of the Holy Trinity, which talks about how you recover spells, and there's a chart. You know, the problem is with I haven't had to look in the holy books. You know, if I only used the PDF, this would go much faster.
PDF? We didn't have that.
It's more
Come on, more
crazy talk. Let's see. But anyway, the question is, okay, you're a cleric magic user, and you're supposed to rest, right? And then you have to take time to recover spells.
Memorize your spells.
And so, you know, if you shoot all your spells, how long is that going to take? And I think the question is, do you have to double rest? Okay, it's on page 39. So let's look at that over, because I've always played it. Spell recovery, whether cleric, druid, magic user, requires about the same period of time. In order to pray and meditate for a new spell to replace it, or in order to study and memorize such a spell, it's necessary that the spell user rest and revitalize his mental vision. When one or more spells need to be regained, the minimum time required to complete, usually sleep, that is required. So the question is, do you have to rest X amount of time twice and then 15 minutes per spell? I don't think that's the way it works. I would rule that you're resting, and you have to rest to the maximum level of the spell that you want to acquire back. So in this case, let's say I wanted third-level spells back. I'd have to rest 6 hours, and then I would have to spend 15 minutes per level per spell, regardless of whether it's cleric or magic user.
Because they recover spells the same method. They both rest and then study and prepare. It's just one prays and the other reads out of their spell book.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, now are they saying they would need to rest for 6 hours, then spend 15 minutes per spell level preparing, then if they wanted to do magic user spells, they needed to rest for 6 hours?
Well, no, I think that was the question, but I think my ruling would be you rest for the maximum spell level you want to get. So let's say you're a fifth level cleric, fourth level magic user. I'm just making something up. So you have third level cleric spells and you have second level magic user spells. You burn your third level cleric spell. Uh-huh. You'd have to rest 6 hours for that because that's what it says on recovery of spells. That's on page 42, I think I said. 42? Did I say 42?
Yeah. 42.
Page 40, sorry, on the top
page
left.
40.
Page 40, first column. So it says spell level. Third or fourth level, 6 hours. So you have to rest 6 hours for the third level spell. Then it's 15 minutes per spell level. So you have a third level spell, that's 45 minutes. And you have a second level magic user spell, that's 30 minutes. And so you'd add them. So yes, it would take a long time because that will be sequential versus having a cleric and a magic user who would have those spells quicker. Yes.
Now, yeah, I mean, that's how I would read it. Requires about the same period of time in order to pray and meditate for a new spell to replace one used. Or in order to study and memorize such a spell, it is necessary that the spell user rest and revitalize his mental facilities.
But
so I don't see why.
Well, the problem
when
is
one or more spells is to be regained, it never says anything about
if they're different classes
differentiating between them. The minimum time required usually rests is
I think we all agree that the sleep rest is based on the level of spell you want, the maximum level of spell you want to recover. The problem is if you're, let's say you're a third level cleric magic user, you could have, and you have a high wisdom, you could have four, seven spells cleric, and you could have three spells magic user. So it's 10 spells of first and second level. Yeah. It's going to take anywhere another hour or an hour and a half of rest, even at that low level, to fully recover.
So yeah, you rest for 4 hours and you extra.
And yeah, so
so is this a big deal? I don't understand why they're going to be resting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why the study. It just means it's going to take longer than an individual cleric or magic user by themselves.
Okay.
even if, and it could potentially, you may have to rest longer than, so let's say you had two fifth level magic users, but one of the fifth level magic users was also a seventh level cleric, and he or she burned her fourth level spell.
Yeah.
You'd have to rest for the fourth level, which I think is the same, but you get my point. You'd have to rest to the maximum level spell you want.
Right, and it's such, I don't really see this as a knock or an issue. I don't know why.
Well, because...
You know, you're resting for a while. You should, you know, if you burnt all your facilities, if you have all your spells gone, you're going to need to rest for a while anyway because people are down hit points at that point. You know, if you burnt everything out, you know, you're going to be probably, everything's gone. You know, there's no way your fighters have walked away with more than half their hit
Cleric's
points.
Cleric's going to be the bigger problem because you have the bonus spell. So you he'll have to memorize more of them. So if you have multi-class.
It's just game time.
Yeah, know, well, some DMs make resting perilous, right? If you're trying to rest in the dungeon, you've got more random encounters.
One hour every hours or every 30 minutes is a, by the DMG is a random encounter, I think.
Well,
it's a check.
The standard
every
way is like every, you know, you could do it every turn, every three turns. I mean, it goes back and forth. It's I mean, if you do it every turn, a 1 in 6 chance, you're going to hit it. So most DMs are merciful. They say, if you lock yourself far
away. Which is
away,
how it's supposed to kind of be. Is you're supposed to be wandering around and get jumped.
You get a couple of checks then.
I mean, the thing is, you're not supposed to be resting in the dungeon. I mean, you shouldn't be getting off these stealth rests where you're able to sneak in a quick rest and then be able... You know, this isn't 5th edition where you can get a short rest or something and get...
5th edition? Oh my goodness.
Right, exactly. That's 5th edition where you're able to get a short rest. I get some spell slots back. I get some hit points back. No, that's not how you... You need to probably exit the dungeon if you want to rest. I don't think even if you're a straight magic user or cleric, you should be able to sneak in a rest and get some spells back. That's a little ridiculous. Because then that means the, you know, the fighter's regenerating hit points, even though it's like one. But I don't know. I don't think...
I agree.
The price is... Yeah, I mean... They should probably be resting outside.
Back in the day, especially if you're early level, you would go in the dungeon, you go back to the keep if you're at the keep of the Borderlands, you go back to Hamlet.
That's how it should be.
Next one, Cleric Assassin. So you just mentioned Cleric Assassin.
Cleric Assassin, so...
So if they're... Well, the caveat is your DM going to allow you to play this character?
Yeah.
That's the first question, because they are evil. But they're fun evil. So it says here... Cleric Assassin, seemingly strange. I don't think it's strange at all. This combination is quite understandable when the race which can operate in these classes at hand is noted. The combination gives great potential in defensive and stealth situations and very powerful assassin attack capabilities. Hit points are good. Half-orcs may be clerical assassins. So half-orcs can be clerical assassins. You get the advantage of assassinating, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You eventually will get silence 15-foot radius.
Yeah.
Amazing. You get to do all kinds of cool things, and you're probably not going to live long anyway because once the party gets no alignment or whatever, they're going to off you. So they're awesome. They're
super
cancerous,
cool.
But in a different way.
They're cancerous, but they have the cool factor. So, and you know, I mean, how do you not sound like a boss when you're running a clerical assassin? You know what I mean? It is your religion to assassinate people.
Yeah.
Like
your deity's a death deity.
And yeah.
Well, you're one of the
you're literally like a death dealer. It's great. I don't know the half-orc deities or the orcish deities, but I'm sure maybe there's an assassinating one. So I assume that's what it's based off of.
Well, it's in the other one. Let's see.
I mean that religiously killing people for money.
Being part of a death cult or something.
Awesome.
Come on, that's...
I mean, that's great, but runs into the same problem with Cleric Thief is it's just terrible. Like, the class, I mean, it just doesn't work as far as you're low in level. Now, you get unlimited assassin, to be fair.
Right.
So to give credit where credit is due, you will always have some use in that you'll always kind of level up. But it runs the same problem as assassin, which is you're playing an assassin, which your party's going to hate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you can't, unless you're a full party of assassins, which in this case, it's a required class, if you're a full party of assassins, because you'll need some healing. So, but if you're running a normal party, there's like no, you're never going to want this.
You're worshiping Shargaz, the Night Lord, who has worshippers, thieves, assassins, who do evil under the cover of darkness.
That's great.
Red crescent moon with red skull between the horns. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, the chart is not based on the cool factor. That's why these guys are
going to get... Well, the assassin's cancerous, but...
They're going to get a 5th edition cancer rating. There's a little spoiler of what they're going
to
get.
Yeah, but, you have to get cancer rating.
But they are... they're awesome. At least I will be less offended. If you're going to play something, you might as well play something. You might as well be a regular assassin, because dividing XP is terrible, and they're just so ineffective.
If you have all good party... You can hide for a while, but eventually
you're going to get busted.
And you're going to die.
And how are you going to hide as a cleric? It is you're religiously killing people.
You mean you're not hiding? You're not hiding your skull and things?
Yeah,
and,
your skull and...
Well, you're an assassin. You're disguising. That's right. Your deity's like, oh,
card
sure.
Or whatever. They're like, I have no idea what's going on here. Yeah. You know, why is, whatever, Sheogath sneaking out in the night to jump into... Why is there dead people all over
the... Why did he keep interrogating these people and they're dead?
Yeah, exactly. You know, your party's going to find you.
So they're cancerous because eventually the party has to kill them.
And they're such a bad combination as well. Like, they're not good. You know, the silence 15-foot radius, I mean, I would, as a DM, like, it would work, but I have a feeling people would notice that, hey, why is everything quiet around me all of a sudden? Like, I'm sure it'd be good if you were sleeping. Like, I'm sure that's the best part, is it would be super effective if you're attacking someone who's just sleeping. But other than that, I have no reason. Why would you roll this glass? And you're not going to be healing. You know, in theory, you could heal as this cleric assassin. Why would a cleric assassin cast Cure Light Wounds, right? Why would they do
that? Well, it's deceptive. On the part? Again, that's
it is
the whole
deceptive,
point.
Right? But it's like, I don't even know if your god would give you that.
Well, you'd have to be... Again, if you were a god of deception, again,
but
you would have
to... But it's not a god. It's god of murder in the night or whatever. You should be... Your god should be giving... You should be attempting to cure people, and then it hurts them or whatever.
I don't know what happened.
Oops, my bad. Like,
oh, that didn't work? Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, so, you know, and again, there's folks who try to make assassins like... Again, the cleric part is what makes this problematic for the party. Because, again, clerics they're treated like medics only, but they're really supposed to be following this deity. They should be, you know...
Well, like exactly. What Paul says here, the real advantage of cleric assassins is implausible deniability that you are not an assassin. That makes no sense. Yeah. You should be religiously assassinating people. At least I think so, right? Yeah. Like, that's how I read that. Like, you're under the cover of night or whatever, but why would you be disguising as a cleric?
I
guess you could disguise as whatever you wanted. So
the campaign would have to say, you know, you'd have to figure out what the backstory of the party.
Yeah, it would be dependent on the deity. I'll say that. Yeah. But I have a feeling your evil murder deity. Now, I guess assassins do use disguises, so it's not out of the question that it could be possible. But this is a total anti-party class. Yeah. Like, you're so uncooperative to the party. And
eventually, you're going to have to be.
You're going to butt heads with the party. There's no way the paladin is going to be accepting of that. There's no way the normal cleric or, you know, Gandalf in the party is going to be okay with the cleric assassin. And at that point, you might as well just play a normal assassin, because then you can just disguise and be whatever you want. You know, I'm just a weird fighter. Right. You're a crappy thief, right?
Yep. All right, moving on.
Total cancer.
The next one we have is Fighter Magic User, the classic Fighter Magic
User. Fighter Magic User.
That's right. So going back to that, obviously this combination allows excellent protection, use of weaponry and spells. Elves and half-elves may be fighter magic. So if you're going to be this, you might as well be an elf, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Why would you be a half-elf?
Right. Get no bonuses. And, you know, you're going to want that dex, probably. You get -1 con, right, as an elf. So not great, but...
Yeah, but you get the dex.
You get the dex, which is nice. Especially...
Your strength is about the same. I mean, if you're lucky to roll exceptional... I think half-elf's a little bit better.
Half-elf can go slightly higher in fighter by 1 if they have a higher strength, but you can get up to 11th level magic user as an elf. You can only get up to an 8th as a half elf. So
I'd rather lose one level of fighter and get 4 levels of magic
user. In 7th level, you get multi-attack too, right, I believe?
Right.
And you don't get anything for 8th, nope. So
you get more hit points. Why would you not? You get more hit points.
And you get, you still get improvision and whatnot. So, you definitely want an elven fighter magic. And you know, elven fighter magic user is the elf class, in my opinion. When I see elf, that's kind of the elf. It should be either fighter magic user or magic user, right?
Yeah.
Those are their classes. And being able to cast in armor and...
And be able to get plus one.
Being able to fight.
Being able to fight.
Plus one with longsword, right?
Yep.
Longsword, short sword, long bow.
You get plus one
short bow
on the sword and the bow. Yep.
Right.
You have hopefully you have a somewhat of a con, even though you're minus one. You probably it would be nice to have a 15 con, because then you're probably gonna have, if you have a 15 con, let's see, 2.5 and 5.5 is 8, so you're having 4-5 hit points. That's the big killer with them. They can't be a frontline guy. They shouldn't be.
They're not. But then again, you're not picking this class to be the only fighter, in my opinion. Right. If you have a fighter, magic user is your only fighter, that's a little weird. I think that's a little strange. You're probably picking this class when you have a good amount of fighters.
Right.
You know, you need a little bit more fighting. You need a little bit more spell casting. So you pick a fighter, magic user to fill in that gap. Or you just want a little bit more survivability as your magic user, which I think... Fighter magic user is great because you get extra survivability and you still can get pretty high level if you have a high stat in mage. Now you're in intelligence. Now you're splitting the XP, which isn't good, but which it already takes forever to level up in magic user, so that's not great. But now I don't think, can you level up in one but be held back in the other?
Yes. That,
so you could be, even though you're... you know, you could be third level fighter, second level magic, even though that couldn't happen. You could level them up individually.
You could.
Yeah.
And that's
in theory
how it should work. Some I've nerfed, because everyone wants to be, especially when the book that shall not be named came out, everyone wanted to be multi-class. I'm like, okay, if everyone could be multi-class, great. Then you have to have enough experience in both classes to go up. And then they really hated that, to nerf them.
Okay.
But the way, now again, a lot of my rulings come from either video games that were official or other things, and you look at, adventures or whatever, and it's clear that, once you have enough experience points in one, you should be able to go up that level. So.
Yeah. Well, so going back to it, you need two high stats. I don't think you're going to get your con bonus, probably, because you're going to want your two high stats in strength and intelligence, and you're just going to get your second-ish stat.
What do you think?
Up there with dex, so you're a little bit more survivable. Because you're probably going to be more dexterous than healthy. That's probably what you're going to be going for. I think it's a good class.
Yeah, you get the bow and you get the armor. So you sit in the back.
You sit in the back.
You shoot at things.
If you get attacked by something in the rear, you can fight. You know, you're not totally helpless.
Yeah.
You've got a lot decent of times armor you class. Need an extra guy to help fight. So that's good. You get to use magic items.
Right.
Lots of them. And you get to cast really high-level spells.
And you have improvision, which is the big thing.
11th level. What is that? Is that 7th level spells?
5th level.
5th level?
That's the big cutoff. 5th level, you get at 9th. You don't get 6th level till your 12th level, till you're a wizard. You're a wizard, Harry. So,
but 5th level spells, like, that's great. You get Cone of Cold and stuff, so...
Yeah, Cone of Cold, you get Summon and Conjure Elemental. There's all good. 5th level's pretty good. 6th level is...
Airy Water.
6th level...
Cloud Will Kill.
Teleport. Yeah. You get Teleport. There's...
Feeble Mind, Hold Monster.
Yeah 5th level's pretty awesome. 6th level is some other major impressive spells.
You get the walls. And, these are good. So, I think this is a good class. Now, I personally think this is as good as a normal magic user.
Yeah.
Assuming you get those high stats, assuming you have 18 intelligence and 18 strength, I think you're as good as a magic user. But if you don't, then you kind of suck. Now, you're getting split in half with your XP, which isn't ideal, but magic user takes forever anyway. And well, a lot of times they're just useless.
I mean, are we waiting early game, mid game, late game the same amount? You get like 33.
I don't know. I would say probably we should.
Because if it's 33.
I mean, we never get to those. Well, I understand, right? But we probably should rate them equally.
The reason why magic users are great is primarily because mid and late game. Early game, they're dangerously bad.
But that's why I think this class makes up for it in that they're still good mid game,
mm-hmm.
right? They're great early game because they're a fighter.
Yeah, but late game they're
late game they fall off.
Right.
Just like how magic user falls off in the early game, they suck.
Yeah.
And in late game, fighter magic user kind of sucks. But in early game,
I mean, I get your point. So they're probably as good or better than cleric magic user and cleric ranger. So
So the thing also, I like them better than cleric ranger. I like them better than cleric magic user. We could maybe write them higher than Druid and on the same tiers. That could work. So, I don't know. We could put them higher than Druid on that same tier, though. I think that could work. Yeah. Because I would say they're better than Druids.
Yeah.
Or at least on par with a Druid.
Yeah. The problem with Druids is they only go up to 14th level. So I would say they're on par.
Yeah, I would say they're about equal as a Druid.
The thing of Druids that make them so good is they go up very quickly early. I mean, for like a lot of their career, they go their XP.
Yeah.
Even though they start at 2,000, their curve is jacked up. It goes up. Oh, they're almost as fast as thieves for a lot of their time. All right. Fighter illusionist. What's the matter?
I forgot this. This is gnomes, right?
Oh, it's only gnomes. Our favorite right. class. Fighter illusionist. Going back
to
page
fighter
3.
Magic user above gnomes, maybe fighter. So we get to wear armor. We get the power of a gnome fighter.
Right.
Which
well
is,
known as their power
well,
fighter.
Well, I mean, their Ds are known across the land.
Right. The ability to fight.
They can go up to 6 level.
Oh, 6 level. Okay.
If they have 18 strength.
Nice. Right?
Gnome fighters of less than 18 strength, they're limited to 5th level. So there's no, like, going down. It's just you're either 6th or you get up to 5th.
And you get up to a whopping 7th level illusionist.
Yeah, now, the only thing is, if you roll a female gnome, you do get screwed, because you only can get up to 15 strength. So,
right.
So you're going to be a 5th level.
There's no sexism in this game.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. Great. But the good news is, if you have so you only get up to 7th level illusionist at max, but you have to have an intelligence or dexterity. If you have an intelligence or dexterity,
Oh, for the first one. Then later for 6th level, you
are
need and.
Under 5th level, or are under 17, are limited to 5th level. Those with both intelligence and dexterity of 17 are limited to 6th level. So if you have your intelligence or your dexterity under 17, either one, you only can get up to 5th level.
Right.
But if you have both 17, or you would need both. Oh, no. You'd only need one 18.
Possibly. That's one way to read it.
Those with intelligence and dexterity of 17 are limited to 6th level.
Right. So then if you need 7th, do you need both 18s or one?
No one.
Either way, it's going to be pretty hard to do.
I mean, you need, because you're going to need 18 strength, too, if you want to get up to max level fighter, which you're not going to get. So, I mean, even at your best, you're 6-7.
Right.
With fighter illusionist, which are, I think, my two examples of the most of the quintessential suboptimal classes.
Right.
Fighter, who's just worse
than a ranger. That's right.
And illusionist who's just worse. Magic.
Very unlikely to be better than.
Yeah. Extremely unlikely unless your
DM is awesome.
DM is great and loves you. So. I mean, this class, you have an illusionist, which is cancer. That's cancerous, right? I believe we put the...
No, illusionists are useless.
Oh, illusionists are just useless. And we have a fighter who's suboptimal. So, and you're playing a gnome, which is already infuriating, right? Because you have a gnome.
Then you're annoying on top of it. So the question is, are they useless or cancerous, this combination?
Yeah. I mean, they get to cast an armor, so that's something going for them. Use weapons, right? They can't use a longsword, I don't think, right? Because they're too small.
Right. Like, no, they can't use a longsword.
So that's the best.
I don't think so. I think halflings have the same. They're not dwarves, so they get a similar limitation on that. Let's see. I forgot where it is, but I'm sure someone will tell us in the chat. It doesn't say. I think two-handed they can't use. But anyway, someone will let us know if they can use that weapon. But so are they cancerous or are they
They're useless. Huh? In my opinion, they're useless.
Yeah, they're as useless as the illusionist.
Yeah, they're useless. I mean, the fighter doesn't make up for it because you only get up to like fifth level or something, and you get up to seventh level at most with illusionists, which sucks. So like, why, if you want to play illusionist, just play illusionist. I don't get it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
They are worse. They don't have they gain a little bit because they may have a little more hit points and they have armor.
Yeah.
But then they can't continue to go up in level. So.
Yeah, they get limited pretty. They get bottlenecked super fast.
So, I'd rather be a human illusionist than a
I'd rather see just a straight illusionist. Oh well, you know, even though it's not ideal, but.
And again, with the book that shall not be named, single class characters can go up. Single class demi-humans, which again is an oxymoron, could go up two levels higher, if I remember correctly. That was the thing they added, to throw a bone at them. So it made them a little bit more useful. I don't think that applies here. Yeah, that doesn't apply here. It's added. That's added later. All right, fighter thief. I think the last few we can kind of start wrapping up pretty quick.
Hey.
Fighter thief. Hi, buddy. Fighter thief. By combining these two classes, the armor, weapons, and combat abilities of the fighter with the stealth and other abilities of the thief is a very effective character credit, even though thieving functions restrict the character to leather armor and no shield. So this is the fighter thief is the most available to the multiple demi-semi non-human races.
You get dwarf,
elf, gnome, half-elf, halflings, and half-orcs may be fighter thieves. So basically every semi-demi non-human can be that.
Okay.
So if you've got crappy stats, this is another one of these crappy stat ones.
We got to go. There's a big difference between a half-orc fighter thief and something like an elf fighter thief, in my opinion. I feel like some of these are way better than others.
Yeah.
So, gnome fighter thief sucks. Half orc fighter thief sucks.
Well, okay.
Well, actually, hold on.
Gnome is bad because fighter is 6th level.
Yeah. Gnome is bad because fighter is 6th level. Halfling fighter thief is pretty bad because.
6th level fighter, and you have. But you can go unlimited thief. Half orc's about 10-8, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and you do get. You get plus one strength, plus one con, so you're a little bit more of a fighter. And elf is pretty good because you get, 7th level fighter and unlimited thief. And you get plus one dexterity, which is nice.
If you're going to be a tanky thief that's more about...
More fightery.
Well, yeah, more fightery and opening locks, the dwarf fighter thief is the way to go.
Right.
Because you got you get good saving throws. Because, again, a lot of times you're opening locks and doing traps, you need the saving throws. So that's pretty good. The elf one is only because elves are kind of wimpy. So to me, I'd rather be the...
They're more of a dodgy.
Yeah.
Which is good considering you're not wearing... you're wearing only leather at best.
Most of the time, right. Yeah. I mean, I love the players who say, I'm going to store my plate mail in the back as I sneak around.
Right, I'm going to don this thing. So you either get the dwarf or the half-orc, which are more fighter, less thief.
Right.
Or you get the elf, which is more thief, less fighter. Which, here's where I get controversial. I don't think you should ever play a straight thief. I think if you're going to play something, you should play a fighter thief. That's my controversial take. And I think you should basically only play a... Now, you could also do a half-elf, I guess, if you wanted. Because you get up to 8th and unlimited, but you get no dex bonus. So I don't know. That could be a way to go, I guess. But I think you should always basically play an elf fighter thief.
No, see, I would always play the dwarf one.
Now, that's the only thing I don't know is the
because the racial bonuses racial for bonuses. Thief. Yeah. If you're so that's on page 28. So for dwarf, they get huge bonuses for open locks and find remove traps, plus 10 and plus 15%. They get minus 10 and minus 5 for climb walls and read languages. So they're not the stealthy type. They're the lock picker, the trap finder. Plus you get your racial bonuses for finding shifting walls and this and that.
Yeah. Elf is more of the sneaking around and picking pockets. So actually, now that I've read the racial bonuses, I think the best one's half-orc fighter.
Oh, yeah?
Because you get open locks, find remove traps, hear noise, and climb walls. And the ones you get crappy on are read languages.
And pickpockets.
Yeah. Pickpockets. Which yeah. are the two ones I don't want my thief to be doing for the most part.
Yeah, I don't want them trying to figure stuff out.
Spells at me with their scrolls, and I don't want them.
Well, that's later. Yeah,
people's pockets and stuff. So I'd rather that, and they have plus one strength, plus one con. They're not going to be the face of the party, so I don't care about their charisma.
Yeah,
right. And they get up to 10 fighter, which is what I care about, because thief is like such a crappy class in my opinion. So I think, you know, these are all in my, you know, to be fair, they're all good. Like, elf, fighter, thief, even half-elf, orc, and dwarf.
Yeah, if you're going to be like a brute thug.
But I think you should be a thuggish
right.
half-orc, you know, with your beat stick or your dagger, and you should be jumping people.
Well, I agree, but if you're here's my counter argument for the dwarf one. The reason I like the dwarf one better is that they get better saves versus poison, assuming they have a good con, which they should.
Like the guy in the book, you should be robbing people.
Well, you're not. That's
as a half orc, not picking their pockets, right. Just pointing a weapon at them and stealing.
Give
me your money.
But
because I can fight as a fighter.
Here's why I like. If I'm going for the least obnoxious thief, the one who's not going to steal and this and that, but is going to open locks and be useful, the reason I like the dwarf is because if they have a good con, even if they have an okay con, they get better saving throws versus spells, and I believe against rod staves and wands and spells, and against poison. So they don't find the trap. The trap goes off. They still get a better save.
That's true.
That's the big thing. That's why I like the dwarf one or the halfling one or the gnome one, because they get some bonuses to, like, the poison ones. But you're right. If they're going to be more of a thug kind of frontline fighter, they got decent hit points, and then they're going to go try to open a lock or something, I like
that. Now, yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Dwarves are way better with the whole
open locks, traps and trap
and,
thing.
And locks. Way better with
which
that.
If I want that in my party, that's the things. Yeah. That's the only things I want them for.
Right. But I was thinking more of, you know, most of the time you just want another body fighting.
Yeah.
So I was thinking more of a bruiser. This is like their fighter thief, you know, in smaller parentheses. Now, this is an interesting one.
Well, because the next one, for me, the half-orc fighter assassin, which is coming up next, is the play.
Now, Darren says thief back up from when the thief bites it. That could be an interesting squad, is the thief, and then you have a fighter thief coming with them, who, if the guy gets busted inevitably, which half-orc doesn't get a minus on moving silently, so that's good, can basically come in and beat up whoever they get jumped by.
Assuming they're not wearing armor.
Well, they're going to wear leather anyway. Like, if you're wearing a fighter thief, you're not going to be doing the whole...
Right. So assuming it's a dwarf or a half-orc or one of those,
yeah,
where...
Yeah, one of the better ones.
Yeah, as opposed to the cutesy ones like a gnome one or a halfling one, which are limited, but they're cute, more stereotypical. I almost feel like they're okay. That they're
definitely
better than... They're clearly not cancerous like a normal thief.
Not cancerous.
And I think in some ways they're better than the pure fighter.
I would rather have them over. Sure, I would put them in okay.
Yeah, I think they're okay.
And you know, they get improvision. All of them have improvision. Right.
Right. They got, so that's a big
Way better than a human thief or a halfling thief. So even though I guess every halfling thief is stout, even though they're like 1% of the population.
They're not supposed to be, right. They always have the improvision. Wait a minute, that's not what it said.
Right. All right. So I think they're good. Now on to
Fighter assassin. So to me, again, if you allow fighter assassin.
Now let's read. Fighter assassin, this combination gives excellent missile and melee combat capabilities, plus assassination stealth potential. Hit points are good. Half-orcs may be fighter assassin.
Yeah. So what's beauty about them is unlimited assassin and a decent level in fighter. And you should have a decent strength.
And you're getting plus one strength, plus one combat, which are good.
Yeah.
And you get minus two charisma, which no one's going to like you because you're assassin anyway. So.
But you can disguise, which can
You can disguise. So you can... And now, I believe the charisma... is only because you're a half-orc.
Well, it's minus two because... So, yeah, if you roll... let's say you rolled a 14 for your charisma. You would be 14 for orcs. You'd be 12 for everyone
else. Right. So what would happen if you disguised as a human?
You'd still be a 12.
You'd still be a 12?
Yeah.
Even though they don't know you're a half-orc anymore?
Well, most half-orcs, it says... Most half-orcs don't look like half-orcs. They don't have... They pass off as humans. Because if not, they really would be hated. But they're boars and they're jerks.
Yeah.
And, you know, their normal behavior. It's kind of like you. Their normal behavior.
But anyway, going to assassin fighter, I think this class combination is awesome. It's great.
Right.
Right. If you can, if you're allowed to play evil, and in fact, it can be broken. Because you can use bows and you could coat them with poison.
Right.
Crossbows or bows or whatever. And totally assassinate people with poison, which is great, you know. So,
and you can pretend to be a fighter, which you are, so you can you don't get that weird.
Yeah, you're
why are you wearing leather
why
armor?
Why are you wearing leather?
You could actually,
you're a weird fighter. You're wearing leather chain or something.
Yeah,
and you fight pretty well, so it's good.
So if allowed. Where does it go? Is it still cancerous? Because you
now,
again, you have the same problem as the cleric assassin.
That's the problem. You're going to run into the problem. There's a good party is never going to. And if you let yourself get nerfed by the good party, would you want to be using poison?
Yeah.
You want to be poisoning people because that's party. You're going to be wearing leather. You know, you're going to be doing some thief stuff. You're going to want to have that extra firepower. So you're going to want to poison your weapons, which. You're going to get busted eventually. You're not going to get away with that.
That's right.
And you're going to be assassinating people. So it's in if you're complete power gaming, it's great. And no one cares. And if everyone's just like, evil, whatever.
Right.
It's incredible. But that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not a video game. It's it's a role-playing game. So people are going to have a problem with it. So
and your DM's not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
They'll let you play with it a while, but eventually it'll be
Exactly. And you know, and the people who play fighter assassins or any assassin things are going to get mad eventually and totally out themselves.
Yeah.
So
if your friends were playing, one of them was a fighter assassin, eventually you'd assassinate them.
Eventually I'm going to assassinate you because I get mad because you take some magic item or whatever.
And then the note gets passed to the DM. I assassinate
There's going to get notes passed around. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they have... Just because it's an assassin, it has to be in cancer.
Yes.
Even though I would much rather...
It's the best of all the other cancerous ones, yes.
If we didn't care about what we were doing and just had to get through, you know, whatever...
Right. Well, we mentioned this was the best for the party as we've seen it played. It's not the best class for role-playing and for individual fun.
Right.
It's to support the party from a survivability, like what I was talking to Lou Pulsiver. This is about... The best classes to support the party for maximum survivability and firepower. Yeah. Yes.
All assassins are cancerous to the party, by definition. Like, I mean, to the party, as the other party members, you're going to think they're cancer.
Yes. Well, so
So they're mentioning some of the things. Yes. So some DMs allow the assassin to be very James Bond-like, that they're not just ruthless right. murder-for-hire killers. They basically are, you know, 007.
The Queen's whatever.
Majesty's chosen. Service yeah, exactly. or something like that. Which, again, if your DM is allowing that, and you have the whole cleric of light and love with you, who just ignores the fact that people are dying quickly yeah. and they never cast no alignment on that, then, you know,
and
that's
even if you are, even if you're going by that, you're still like a, you're the dark hand of the government.
Yeah,
assuming
exactly.
that. You're the people who gets the dirty work done.
Yeah.
So you're not a good guy. Like
right.
most people are not going to be like, wow,
yeah.
I love it when the king's guys turn off the blinds and start smoking people that yeah. they don't, that are, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could work. But, like, you know, if I was the DM, of course, I would have it where one of the player characters, the government wants to assassinate them.
Right.
I mean, that's what the fun part about it is.
And
you put them in positions where it becomes a win-win.
And if the governing body is hiring assassins and whatnot, we're in a typical high fantasy
right.
thing. They're probably evil. The,
yes.
the governmental, whoever's doing that
yeah.
is probably evil,
yeah.
right? So, like,
well, any of these could work, but we're talking about the traditional.
Yeah.
You have a ranger in the
it's
party.
It's okay, Mr. Paladin. I have a license.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, if you have a ranger or you have a paladin, you have a normal, lawful, good cleric. You don't have some of this weird cleric combinations, like they're talking about Bokob the Uncaring, who's a neutral cleric, which again is something that came later. So again,
also I think it's kind of weird, a very suave like James Bondy and half orc.
Yeah. Is that I'm Bond? James
yeah,
Bond.
Exactly. Right. I like smashing people over the head, killing them in their sleep.
Yes, I want a bloody martini, shaken, not stirred.
Right.
So. Well, good. That's why, you know, so I'm looking
yeah.
forward to Menyon's podcast about why the assassin fighter works. He can do his, which, by the way, Confessions of a Wee Timorous Bushy is a great podcast. You should listen to it on Anchor. There's your plug. All right, the next one. Fighter.
Is that Fighter Magic
User Fighter Thief? Magic User Thief.
All right. Fighter Magic User Thief.
Got three left.
That is a mouthful.
Right. Fighter, magic user, thief, combat spell, and stealth capabilities are given to the character who opts for this class. This is a very powerful mix. Whenever Gary Gygax says it's a powerful mix,
yeah,
typically they're garbage.
Totally.
He thinks the monk is one of the most powerful
lying
things.
To the player base. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. I think that's... advancement is usually more rapid because of the thief, they're saying. Average hit points are fair. 3 hit points per level. And elves and half-elves may be magic user... I'm sorry, I mixed them. Elves and half... So it's average of 4 hit points per level, not including con bonus. Elves and half-elves may be fighter, magic user, thief. So again, back to the same problem, triple class, really
sure.
slow, great early game because you've got some things, but you have the thief limitation.
This just comes down to you're playing in a party.
Yeah.
Why would you be a jack of all trades, right? You know, you're there to split the load. You shouldn't be doing everything as one class,
right?
And you're not, if you're doing meh at everything, why wouldn't you just have everybody take their own share, you know what I mean? And do their own thing and do it well rather than have one guy do everything and do it less than mediocre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand why you would prefer that over just having other people pick that up. Like, why are you trying to do your stealthing, your trap finding, your spell casting, and your fighting all in one class?
Yeah. To me, the problem, and part of the reason why we're not big fans of thieves, beyond the fact the way they're played, is they're so bad early level. The only thing they do well is climbing walls.
Yeah.
Everything else, they don't do well. And if you don't have a good dex and good racial bonuses, you really don't have a chance.
Yeah.
finding
you're
traps.
You're wasting these high-level stats.
Yeah.
Because you want three good stats.
Right.
If you have three good stats, why are you not playing a paladin or a ranger?
So for me, I mean, just to kind of end this, this is useless. Yeah. I mean, they're useless.
They're useless. Just play a fighter magic user.
Right.
That's great.
Fighter magic user is good.
Play a fighter magic user. Or play a fighter thief. That's also good.
Right.
Why would you play all three? I don't get it.
Yeah, so now again,
sometimes
if you only had one player, then yes,
right.
I guess that would be
that's
okay.
True.
If you're playing a solo game, that would be good.
Or if you have two players, one person needs to play. Even if you have two, well, it should be fighter, magic user, and then, I don't know, cleric, thief, I guess. Like,
yeah, that's just like Pixie and Glades.
Or maybe fighter, cleric. You'd be fighter, cleric. No, magic user. The problem is you have to throw thief in there, and thief just sucks. So, thief is just awful.
I would have, in that case, like Pixie and Glades did, one would be the cleric fighter, the other one would be the magic user thief. So you have one guy who's strong fighter.
Well, let's get to the magic user thief.
All right, so, magic user thief.
What does it say in the book?
What does it say? Magic user thief. This combination does not offer all the options open to a fighter magic user thief, true, but advancement is usually more rapid.
True.
Hit points are 3 hit points per level. Elves and half-elves may be magic user thieves. So the early game, they're slightly better in that you have more hit points and you could wear leather armor, which, again, if you don't have a good dex, but again, then why are you a thief? But if you did have a good dex, your AC is 4 versus 6 or something like that if you're naked like a magic user. You potentially have a little more hit points, which, again, when you're a first-level magic user, that could be the difference between life
and
death. And you could climb walls, which, again, as a magic user, may not be
a
bad thing. For me, it's where does it fall? You know, I think the problem is by having that extra class going away from being a straight magic user, you're limiting yourself. Well, what is it for magic? So the only one that kind of makes sense is the elf magic user thief, because you can go to 11th level
and you get
and unlimited.
So
that's pretty good. You get the dex, but you don't get advantage of the sword. Thief, you get a short sword, so you get
a
plus
short
one.
Sword, so you do get plus one, which is nice. But so in theory, it's not terrible of a class combination.
Right.
It's not bad. You know, you want to get to those high levels as a magic user. So I feel like any class with multi-classing magic users is not ideal.
Well, but the other two, we gave it pretty high level.
We gave it, you know,
good,
it's fine, but it is a problem. Because you want to get as high level as possible with magic user. Because that's the whole reason you're getting into magic user. But you do get to trade off some of that early game garbage of being a magic user. Now,
but not as much as the fighter or the cleric, where you have real armor.
Right.
That, to me, is the big advantage of those classes.
But if no one wants to play a thief, it can work. You know, and you just want a little bit more spell casting, it's fine. You're not going to have this guy as your only magic user, hopefully not.
Yeah,
and
the only thing that would be annoying is if they try to steal magic items, but hopefully they're the only magic users, so they're stealing stuff for themselves.
Yeah, and now I'm biased. I hate players who play magic user thieves. They're just terrible. Like, they are pure cancer. Because people play the magic user thief, and I don't know what they think they are when they play it, but normally they're invisible and running around and...
Yeah. Doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, doing things, getting into trouble they shouldn't be getting into, and then just ruining everything. Now, I'll save most of the hatred for the next one. The next class is the true.
Right.
That's my most...
We're not even going to talk much about it. So,
but
I would put this
would
either
magic
at
user thief is
suboptimal, okay...
It's okay. I don't like the players, though, so that might knock it down to suboptimal.
You're hating the player, not the game.
But, you know, in theory, the class is fine. And it works okay as a utility kind of stealth class. I feel like if you're going to play magic user thief, you're going to be thief in the early levels, magic user in the later levels, and occasionally doing some thief stuff whenever the party needs it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like that's the way.
I think the reason they're okay, especially on the elf one, is you can get to pretty high level. You can be an 11th level, 12th level thief, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, you're not bad.
You're at the lower end of the high end experience. You know, high end to me is 14th, 15th level. I mean, sure, I've seen other campaigns.
And 11th level magic users, no joke. Like, they're nothing to scoff at, right? So.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. Page 19 of the player's handbook. 3 asterisks. Can't use weapons, can't use two-handed sword under 100 pounds. Okay. All right. The last one.
Last one.
Is illusionist
thief. Now, let's read it before I get in.
Is it because of Dan? That's my question.
It's.
See magic user thief above. Gnomes may be illusionist thief. So right there, if you're a gnome, I'm just going to say, if you're a gnome, you already the highest you can get to is useless. There is nothing. We're really only debating whether it's useless or cancer. Because the person who plays a gnome wants to play
him. I didn't even know this. Gnome can't be a magic user?
No.
That's crazy.
They can only be illusionist.
They can get 7th level illusionist.
Right.
Wow. So this is awful. Just, I'm completely biased against it. I hate this class. Everyone who's ever played it, I've been like, wow, this is cancer. This is awful.
They're the jokester. They're the trickster. They steal stuff. They
ruining every, like, just awful.
Right.
We're like, hey, can we send you ahead to scout? Let's actually just make the situation 10 times worse.
Right.
Like, it's awful. They do this weird thing. It doesn't work. Stealthily casting spells doesn't work. That's the other thing we probably should have brought up with Magic User Thief. You're doing one or the other.
Yeah.
You're thieving. You're in thief mode. Here's my thief hat. Here's my magic.
Well, inevitably, what they want to do, what do they want to do? They want to change self. They want to they want to get ahead, and instead of coming back, no, they're going to cast this thing and trick the guard.
And tricking things, and then what are they doing? They find the gold or something or treasure, and then take
then
it,
they're
and
stealing
then it's
in
high alert, and then they stake one thing, and big high alert, and it's like, great, we could have the whole treasure hoard or whatever, but no, we get one thing taken because you had to steal one thing and then get the entire dragon pissed off. And
you had me at gnome. You had me at cancer.
And you're playing gnome. You don't go very high. You're illusionist. The best you're wearing is leather. You're playing illusionist, which is annoying. And you're playing thief, which is annoying. And you're an illusionist thief, so you're double annoying.
Yeah.
It's just awful. I hate this class. It's worse than all of them for me. This is my least favorite class. I'd rather have a barbarian. I'd rather have an assassin. Right. I'd rather have anything else than this class. If you play illusionist thief,
cringy, games, annoying. I mean,
obnoxious.
Barbarian, paladin, zealot, cleric, thief. When you put illusionist and thief together as a gnome, they start acting crazy.
I don't want to be part of a Saturday morning cartoon or something. Like, I don't think that's fun. I don't think it's funny getting pranked, actually tricked. I don't want a pixie in my party tricking me or doing whatever. No, let's not do that.
Nope. Terrible, terrible.
I hate it.
Terrible, cancerous.
I hate it so much.
So there's our tiered list. We did it. We've accomplished it. It only took a little longer than we thought, but we did it. Congratulations to us. So for those who are out there, what do you think of our tier list for first edition?
There it is.
Do you like it?
Completed list.
I'm
sure no one will have a problem with it.
I'm sure that's perfect.
And I'm sure everyone's going to be so happy about where we put Magic User Thief and Illusionist Thief. I know that one. People love those two.
Those are the role players.
Those are the role play class. This is our counterpart.
All right. Well, that's good.
Half tiefling, gnome, illusionist thief. That would be my favorite.
But like all YouTube says. But this is what we think. What do you think? You should put in your comments where you think we were right, where you think we were wrong.
Make sure to leave comments about how much Artula sucks and you forgot about the one situation where the illusionist thief is great when they're in some random town and they have access to every magic item.
That's right. We would love to hear about it because that's what makes
us. That will make it great. And then I can read them and be like, I forgot.
that one edge case.
I forgot about that one edge case where the paladin is inched out by the illusionist thief.
So again, the other thing we want in the comments is what should be our next tier list that we do. You know, this is easy you know, fortunately, Nico's played a lot of first edition, so he's very versed. So let us know. Do you want to do spells? Do you want to want us to do the races? We could do that.
Could do that.
Yeah.
Spells, you know.
I can do either.
Anything they could think of, even weapons or something, or magic items.
Oh, yeah, we go through the weapons.
Go through weapons.
Longsword, that's it.
I mean, longsword, mace.
That's right. Spells, yes.
Something about spells.
Yeah, we could do spell tier list,
absolutely. We could do spells, and, you know, that would be funny, because there would be some people who definitely would like the random edge cases that you can use.
Oh, well, and we need David Thompson on here. I know this is probably not a good time. Oh, pole arms. That's right, the pole arm. That's what we want.
We need to go through every pole arm.
That's right. I think the glaive geese arm sucks, not the glaive.
We need to put up the specific pole arms and compare the heads and be like, this is why the Volge wins out against...
How dare you say the Bec de Corbin is mid?
the Bill's head and whatever. Right. If you have ever fought a peasant over... Clearly, your castle keeping.
The geese arm Vosge, amazing.
Amazing. Combining two weapons. Halbert, I mean, that's got to be the best one.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Clearly, that would be amazing.
We need, with each of these little pictures, so that of each of the heads that we can put in tiers.
Oh, okay, yeah, we've done raiding swords. Well, we don't want to do that. But yeah, pole arms, that would be perfect. And because we'd have to go over the weapon armor adjustments.
Oh yeah, obviously, because I've looked at that table a bunch.
We've memorized that one. Right.
We have that memorized.
Late at night, I've memorized that. All right, so that sounds like we'll be doing pole arms.
Oh God,
we'll be doing pole arms, tiered class of pole arms.
Tiered pole arms. Now,
we're not doing it now.
What is going to classify the pole arms though? Because we're going to have to do some. Well, because they're broken up.
Yeah, but yeah, any of the pole arms. So
okay,
because if you look at their length and their speed, you can figure this
out.
Okay. All right, next time we're doing pole arms.
We're going to be comparing their space required and their speed factor.
Speed factor and their weapon adjustment, absolutely. Okay,
well, this one we're definitely going to have to use more of the comments because I don't think I've played with speed factor. I think maybe once.
Oh, my goodness. It's the best thing
and
ever.
And is it?
Okay. Speed and weapon adjustment.
I definitely haven't played with space required or
and
length.
Space required and weapons adjustment.
And length of the weapon. I haven't really thought about that too much.
All right. Well, for Grog Talk, thanks. Great to see everyone out there. We will see you next time. Hopefully it'll be in a couple weeks. Until then, take care.
This has been a Bushy Puppy production. All rights reserved.